around and go back home.
Gordon didn't know he was supposed to introduce me, and I should have just tricked him and pulled a J and told him he was preaching. Tricked him again. Good morning. I'm really happy to be here. You see the title of my sermon, We Have Joy, and I want to tell you that I am coming here today and I am joyous. I am pleased. I've been, of course, the last several weeks. One of those weeks we were at youth camp, which was awesome, a joyous event, a time where we were able to, I think, talk about and delve into those things that are of real importance to our people right now, to our young men and women of the church. I was uplifted. I was burdened by a lot of things. And, the next couple weeks, I ended up having to work on Sundays, and I hate doing that. In order to be yesterday at our memorial service, I had to do a shift trade because I was supposed to work yesterday, and I was a little bummed. I'm hoping it works out well. The guy who traded with me, he wants me to pay him back on a Sunday. I just hate that. I want to be here. I have joy when I can come in here. It's not, we're going to talk today about joy. We're going to talk about happiness. We're going to talk about deep. We're going to talk about superficial. We're going to talk about all of these things. But I want to tell you that I am joyous to be here. This is not a natural state for me. I have to work at it. I am, as I've told you guys oftentimes before, I'm not a pessimist and I'm not an optimist. I'm a realist. It's very easy for me to look around at everything that's going on in the world right now, or to see empty pews here, or to consider that there are those who, like our brother Tommy, who are in the ICU and all those things, and to think of all of these things, which is natural to make us look a little bit different. Joy is something that, for me personally, I have to work at. It's not a natural tendency that I have, but it ought to be. But it's something that we can work on. And I want to start with a video here, and I tried to embed it in here, but my downloader wasn't working. So I'm going to see if I can pull it up real quick. So let's see. But I don't know. One of you people who are way smarter than me with computers. Is that up? Is there a YouTube there? Oh, sweet. Now let's see if the audio will work for it. You guys are probably, maybe some of you remember this commercial. Oh, wait, that's no good. Hang on. Well, why is it not making sound? Let's try it again. Well, I know that's because I don't want to watch the whole thing. You guys don't really want to know about FedEx Ground, do you? Where is the volume? That's a bummer. Anybody remember this commercial? Oh, who's smarter than me on a computer? Everybody. Some. Hang on. Let's see. Let's see if I can figure this out. That's, I know why. Boom. I'm not as dumb as I once was. All right, now let's back it up. Now let's learn about FedEx Ground.
That's faster than you think.
They can't judge things by their name. Don't you agree, Harry?
Absolutely.
Eileen?
Of course.
Joy? Bob?
Does anybody remember that commercial? I love that Joy. That's my favorite. So when I was going to do this sermon, I thought, oh, that's really good. I need to have Joy on. Just the giggling all the time. Who knows somebody like that? I would say there's someone sitting right next to Annette who's like that. Right? I just look at Margaret and she starts giggling and laughing, and she's done it my entire life. It's one reason why I love Margaret, because Margaret will always make me smile. She's always had the ability to do that. Let's just think about this. We have joy, and sometimes we need to look harder to find it. It's tough. It's difficult. We have all been in situations in our life where it's been difficult to look and see a positive, to see an end point, to see all of those things. But I don't want to talk about it. Well, let's first talk about happiness. Somebody tell me, what is happiness? Easy. If everybody talks at once, I have trouble making out multiple voices. To get past the voices in my head. Wow, we stink. Positive emotion, Elmer. The opposite of sadness. Okay. Anyone else? Feeling of what? Elation. All right. Can you please? All right. Give me the definition of elation. There we go. We got a chemical release going on there. Hey, but that's actually kind of important, right? Because there's something that's interesting about a chemical release of serotonin and what else? And dopamine, right? And I have some nurses in here, right? Does it last forever? Wears off, right? I don't know exactly how it works, right? I'm not a paramedic. I'm just an EMT. When we go on a call and you know, we roll up in our fire truck and pull everything out and we got someone who's in a code or something, they have a thing of dopamine that sometimes they give, and I'm thinking, I don't know, that's probably not going to make that guy real happy right now, you know? But there's something to it, right? But it wears off. We should not confuse happiness with joy, because happiness is fickle, right? It changes frequently. Happiness is dependent upon circumstance, right? We find those, you know, well, we'll have a picture here in a second, and it'll kind of illustrate it. You look and you see and you do some definitions, and you see that happiness is defined in several ways. A state of well-being, a pleasurable and satisfying experience. And then well-being, you know, the state of being comfortable, healthy, or happy. And can any of us see a danger in this? There's a danger in this. We're going to talk about it here in just a second, but there is a danger in pursuit. You know, that's one of these things. I am proud to be an American. And you look, you know, in this amazing document that set us up to where we were. They said that, you know, we should have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But, you know, what I would rather it say is the pursuit of joy. You know, happiness is fickle. It's dependent upon circumstance. Let's talk real quick about Christian joy. This is what I want to encourage us to. You know, almost a year ago, we had a whole day or 2 days where we talked about joy, and we broke it down in several different ways. And, you know, life has gotten somewhat better than some of the challenges that we were facing then, but in some ways it's gotten worse, right? And for some of us, it's gotten extremely better, and for some of us, it's gotten extremely worse, right? We need to talk about this. What is our Christian joy? In John 15 and 10, Christ, as he's talking to his disciples, and let's remember, I've said this numerous times, I want to remind you of this. When Christ is talking to his people, this is 10 and 11, why is he doing all this? Because in just a moment, when he, you know, not long after he finishes this, he's going to be drug off and killed. And he will no longer be with them anymore. And he gives precious promises in this time to them. But he also tells them this. He says, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. Even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. You know, one of these things, and this isn't my focus of this sermon, but I want to always remember this, is that there are times in our life where we will find ourselves suffering because we have walked contrary to God. If we are, someone's car alarm's going off. There's a theft fixing to happen right now. Uh-oh. All right, we're going to preach on through it, but I hope nobody's car's getting stolen. Mary. Certainly not mine. I walked. But I want us to remember this, right? When we walk contrary to God, we cannot have joy. In fact, rather, as we talked about on Wednesday night, if you remember, we had our dinner and study, and we were talking about this gift of God's Spirit, the Holy Ghost, is one of those things that we rely on, is that the Holy Ghost, you know, it testifies of the Father and of the Son, right? If we're walking contrary, we should be feeling this movement inside of us that the Lord, through His Spirit, is saying, hey, this is not the direction for joy. This is a challenge. And especially when we find ourselves in difficult circumstances, every one of you have been there. For all of you who are here, you've known well some of the difficult circumstances that we've endured lately. We've endured it as a church. I've endured it personally, all of us. But God's desire is that we have joy. And let's talk about this. This Greek word that you see for joy, it's used twice in verse 11, and it's derived from another verb, and I don't speak Greek, but it means to rejoice. And if you look at how this word is used throughout the New Testament, it expresses this doctrine of Christian joy, not only of joy that arises because of our present possession of God's blessings, but also the joy that comes from a well-grounded hope of possessing in the future all that God has promised to us in His Word. This isn't superficial. It is not fickle. It is not dependent upon circumstance. It comes from the assurance of God. Joy is planted, it's watered and grown internally, and it's not dependent upon outward circumstance. Let's look at this real quick. Oh, that's why I was taking your picture yesterday, huh, Turkey? It shows up pretty well. Joy comes through maturity in life. It's hard to have joy as a child because children are dependent upon external circumstances. Take a look at this. It's 10 minutes. 10 minutes. We went from this was at the calm down, right? He was out of the worst of it, but he's clearly sad. And 10 minutes later, he's playing a game and he's happy again. Right? This isn't joy. This is happiness. This is a life because of his immaturity, right, of a child that is dependent on every external circumstance. This cannot be us as adults. This cannot be us as mature Christians. This can't be us as teenagers when we're able to look beyond just the present circumstance that I'm in, right? Because we all know those people who they ebb and flow with every little thing that happens to them. They're on high highs because life is great and my boss is happy with me and I just got a raise and I get to go have a smoothie today or whatever. And then are on low lows because my boss yelled at me and the smoothie store was closed and I stubbed my toe and all that sort of stuff. You know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, after this whole dissertation on love, Paul says, you know, when I was a child, I thought like a child. I acted like a child. My thought process was like a child, but when I became a man, a mature Christian, I had to put away those things to be able to look deeper. And the real challenge comes when we find ourselves in challenges. Right now, my life is wonderful. I have easy joy. A year ago, it wasn't so easy. It was hard-fought joy, but the joy was there. Because Christian joy comes with Christian maturity. Joy comes through faith and experience with Christ and endures because of the assurance of a future good. Got a handful of young men here who were in a class I taught at youth camp. I have great passion for it. It's a man class. And one of these things, or these four, we've talked about four pillars of a man. And that fourth one we talk about is expectation. Expectation is we have an assurance of a future good. And it's something that we hold to with hope. And we're convinced that if we don't let all of the troubles and difficulties that this world comes, right, that comes upon every person, that we can be a participant in this future good. This is something that takes a great amount of effort and experience with Christ, prayer and considering His Word and visiting with others who have been there and finding that strength in those around us. This is why it's important. This is why we can't be a child who has gone back and forth because of the happiness and the sorrow that comes like waves. Because Christ says, you know, in this whole thing, He's talking about all of the circumstance that happens to people. And He says, you know, these things happen that you might be the children of your Father which is in heaven. And then He makes this statement. He makes His sun to rise on the evil and on the good and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. The pursuit of and defining our life with happiness is dangerous. Because it relies upon all these things that Christ says ebbs and flows. Even if we look within our own local here, we have seen that we have had tragedy and great blessing happen right in here. If we define our life by all of those external circumstances rather than what the Lord has done for us, promises to do for us, and that hope in the future good, then what is our life going to be like? If you're downtrodden when you're wet and uplifted only when you're dry and comfortable, how can you find purpose, contentment, and hope in this life? Why wouldn't you be driven to giving your life over to drugs and alcohol or all these sorts of things? Those things that help to take it away. If you're only concerned with what is happening to me at this moment rather than an assurance of what it is in the future and a deeper understanding of what God has done in your life. Bananas. Oh, Asher looks right up at me. A lot of people don't know this. Bananas are Asher's favorite fruit. No, they are not. In fact, Asher won't even touch a banana. And I don't understand why he won't even touch a banana, but he won't even touch a banana. I have bananas today. I'm not going to make you eat it, Asher. Chill out. I know you will, Zane. Zane's a fruit lover like me. Mangoes. So, banana. Anything wrong with this banana? This is like right where I would like it, right? Nice and yellow, perfectly ripe. About that banana. Who's excited for that? 2 days from now, I was worried if I left it in a bag for overnight that it was going to ripen too much. Is that what it's on? Deb told me that yesterday. She said if I leave the green ones in the sun. And then we got this guy. Who's excited? So, yeah, here's what I want us to think about, right? You know, I look at all of these bananas, and I love bananas. I like to eat them. When I was in the fire academy recently, every morning I had a banana on the way into work. I enjoy bananas. I like to do all sorts of stuff with it. This is where I want to eat it, right? Everything is good with this banana. I throw it in a smoothie. It's great. I eat it plain. It's great. I put it on peanut butter sandwich. It's awesome. Plantain is not the same, but Natasha, plantains that are like this are useful, right? What do you do with them? Fry them. Fry them, make them into chips, do all sorts of, do you want to do it with this one? Not necessarily, right? This one's going to hold its form better. It's not going to be so full of sugar and everything, right? You go to some of these places, you can get banana chips and all that. They're, plantain is not exactly a banana, same family, right? A little bit different. We're talking about the same concept, though, right? So I was thinking about it yesterday as I was thinking about bananas, and I started looking up, and I'm like, well, what, why would I just use a green banana? And I looked, and I found that there are all sorts of desserts that call for a green banana, right? If I understand it right, at least in my mind, the way it is, because nobody explained it in these recipes, but it's like, well, you get the flavor without the high sugar content. Right? It hasn't fully ripened yet, and so maybe it is that you can accentuate that flavor elsewhere. But it's useful, okay? How about this one? Someone said banana bread. I've introduced three crews that I've been on with my wife's banana bread French toast. Oh, yeah. So she'll make like three loaves of banana bread,